want to read to you this morning from Quiet Talks with the Master by Eva Bell Werber. This is a tremendous book, this little book. I recommend it to anybody. This particular article is entitled The New Path. My daughter, I sense a feeling of loneliness and longing in your heart for old and familiar ways. But never fear. Know that it is the hand of your Lord leading you on. And when the turns come in the path, do not look back and do not say, Lord, if it could only be as the path was before. It was good and pleasant. Can it not continue so? But softly comes my answer, as I have answered you before. Old tried ways must give place to new ways and things and conditions. Otherwise, where would be the progress? So do not fear to take the turning as long as you walk by my side. For after the turn is made, new glory shall spring up under your feet that shall far transcend those old familiar ones. And you shall hold close my hand and whisper, Lord, it is good. Never more shall I fear. So shall you honestly feel in your heart until the next turn comes. Each time you may loiter a little and look back, but each time hear my command. It is I. Be not afraid. Then you shall go on, ever upward, glory following glory, new following old, till the time comes when you shall no longer fear any change, for you will have proved to yourself that each change is but my leading on the upward path. Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalms 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. I want to speak to you this morning about the pathless path. Everybody, in the ordinary sense, is embroiled in some type of religious path in the world. And each one claims his own path to be the best, the highest, the greatest, the only one which puts forth the truth. Now, all of these paths are but wayshowers. Now, a path is a way, but it is not a way shore. You must have someone to show you the way on the path if you are ever to reach your destination. If you are going to go to a place where you have never visited before, you don't know just where the address that has been given to you really is, what location, what part of the city or the country or the town or whatever, you get a map. And you have to ask somebody for that map. You just don't usually pick them up off a counter. And if you have, someone has placed it there for your edification. So you have to have a guide to show you the way of the path. Now, in all the great religions of the world, there are instructions similar to the Ten Commandments, the do's and the don'ts that man must abide by. And these are the laws, it is said, that are laid down by God himself. And these laws are unchangeable. They are immutable. They cannot be tampered with, because if you do tamper with them, then you have to pay the price for such tampering. And yet people go blithely on their way, doing the things which come naturally, they say. It is the in thing now to be yourself, but certainly not your God self. It is the end thing to express everything that you are in your ego sense, to let no one brook or interfere that which you feel within yourself you want to do as a result of your desire nature. But if you are going to test as to whether or not the things that you have chosen to do, the path that you are choosing to follow, is right, then you have to test it by the commandments that are given in all of the great religions. You cannot afford not to, because the price you will pay if you do not is indeed very great. There is no person in the world who has not, at some time or other, broken the commandments. We do it all the time, all of us. It is human nature. It is that false sense, that antichrist, which is within each man that wants to go in the opposite direction. But you must seek within if you are to find the pathless path, to go that path, and to find out who and what you really are in God. I want to tell you a story this morning that I think is perfectly beautiful. The title of it is Maeve. There was once a princess that lived in a castle with her father, the king. And from the time she was born, she was made much of. She was a very, very beautiful child, and she grew into beautiful womanhood, but never had a wish been denied her. And everybody paid court to her because her father was the king. So she grew up thinking of herself as really something. She thought of herself as beautiful. She thought of herself as possessing all the grace and the charm that any human being could have. And she was encouraged in that. One night the king gave a ball for her when she became of age. And such compliments as was paid to her had never been paid before to a human being. And she was really just as filled with pride as she could be and vanity. And she thought to herself, how beautiful I am. And there were whispers all over the court. And these whispers said that soon, undoubtedly, she would marry and it would be a fine match. When the ball was over, she went to bed. But she could not sleep for some reason. She lay there and she tossed and she twisted and she turned, but she could not sleep. All of a sudden she heard sobbing, and it was like it was coming from a far off place. And the sobbing grew louder and louder. And she thought, what in the world? Who is this that is sobbing? And she cried out, who is it that is in such torture and such trouble? And do you know what happened? The voice that answered said, I am yourself. I am yourself. Let me out of here. And she said, what do you mean you are myself? I am me. All I have to do is to look in the looking glass and see who I am. No, that is not you, said the voice. I am yourself. Let me out. Let me out. Well, she was so disturbed that she got up and dressed, and she thought, I have to get away from this. I have to get out of here. I have to get some sense of sanity in my head. So she threw a cloak around her, and she walked out into the night, through the courtyard and through the forest, with which she was very familiar because she had explored it many times since she had been a child. And she was heading for a very special spot to her, an old tower. So she went through the forest, and she came to the tower. And she ascended the steps to the uttermost part of the tower, and she sat there. And she said, now I am at peace. Now I can be myself. No, cried the voice again. Let me out. Let me out. I am yourself. All of a sudden, the whole scene changed. It was as though she had a vision. And she saw a tall castle. And right in the bottom part where there was a dungeon, and in that dungeon, there was a little figure of light, all bound with chains. And the voice cried from the figure of light, let me out. I am held prisoner in here. Let me out. And all of a sudden, as she saw that light, she envisioned the castle starting to crumble. it crumbled and crumbled a little bit. And as it crumbled, the light of the figure grew a little bit more light, grew a little bit larger. So she sat there wondering what in the world she should do. And then the vision faded. All of a sudden, as she opened her eyes, she saw an old man with a face filled with light sitting in front of her. And she said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am myself." She said, "What is this? This one that is crying says to me, 'Let me out of the present. I am yourself.' And now you say, 'I am myself.'" He said, "I am the one who has come to help you to release yourself." And so he sat before her. And as he sat, he took up a piece of earth. And in its place where the earth had been was a little hole. And he moved his hand and there was some clear water formed. And he said to her, "Now, look in the pond and tell me what you see." And she said, "Oh," she said, "I see my face." And she said, I look as though I'm so greedy, as though I had just eaten a large box of chocolates." And he said, "Do you like to see your face that way?" She said, "No." He said, "Well, peel the mask off." He said, "Yourself, the one that you call you, is just a bunch of false faces, of masks. And you put one on and you take another one off. And you take another one off and you put another one on. And it's just one mask after another that you have put over your real self. Take off the mask." So she reached up and she tried to peel the mask off, but it would not come. And she said, "Please help me." And he said, "I'll be glad to help you. Nobody can take the masks off without the help of someone else." And so he reached over and gently peeled the mask off. It was just like a piece of onion skin. And he threw it away and it shriveled up. Then he said, "Look again." And she looked again and she said, "Oh, how lazy I am. Never do I do anything worthwhile. I just lie around all the time and do nothing that is really worthwhile." She said, "I must overcome that." He said, "Peel that mask from your face also." And she said, "Help me." So again, he peeled the mask from her face and he threw it away. Then he said to her, "You must rest now and you must have some food." So he gave her bread to eat and some fruit and some cheese, and she felt refreshed. And he said, "Now you must sleep, and tomorrow we will continue." So she ate her food and she slept. And each morning she would awaken, and each morning the man whose face was filled with light would let her look in the pool and tear off more masks and more masks and more masks. And so, the more that she tore off, it seemed that every time one was torn off, a chain from the figure of light was removed. And the light became bigger and bigger and bigger until it filled half of her being. And he thought, "Now comes the dangerous time." And so he said, "Now, look in the pool again." And she saw hatred and envy and pride and bitterness and all of the things that make a person the most ugly. Just constant criticism of everybody else, thinking that she alone was the one who knew all things. And she said, "This is terrible. I must tear this mask from my face." And he said, "So it shall be." And he reached over and he tore that mask. And the little figure of light enveloped her whole body. And she stepped out from the prison cage. And he said, "Now, you too can say, 'I am that I am.'" That's a tremendously beautiful story. And it is the story of every man on his way to the infinite. Each one of us wear masks on our faces. Each one of us are constantly involved with this little self that we call our real self, and in truth we are not. But you need someone first to point it out to you. And that someone is a voice inside of you, that figure of light which cries out to you, come, release me. I have many times thought, and sometimes I have said to you, how terrible God must feel, all bound up in this prison house. Always we are begging him, we are asking him for things. Lord, give me this. Lord, do this for me. Lord, take this away. Lord, Lord, Lord. And what do we give him? We give him the residue thereof. We give him the ashes. We give him the dust. That which is left after we have used it all up. These are the burnt offerings which we offer to the Lord. We use all the things of the senses, satisfy ourselves. But do we think to love him first, to give him consideration, when we are dependent upon him for every single thing, every thought, every word, every deed which we are able to put forth from ourselves, that without him we could not have this body that was fashioned without hands, that we could not have the life, the intelligence, the power, the energy, the everythingness which we call ourselves? It is all God who has imprisoned himself in a form, and only we can let him out. That's the one power we have, to turn our faces to him and to love him with everything we have and to give him all of ourselves, not reserving this much for me and that much for the Lord. Can't I have both, you say? And you at once are serving God and mammon too. This cannot be. If you are to realize who and what you are in God, to come in real touch with this wonderful world of you inside, then there can be no holding back. There can be no compromise. You have a decision to make. Do I want to serve my Lord, or do I want to serve the Antichrist within myself? Because that's exactly what that human ego is. It takes us into the things outside. And it is said that that is the male aspect of God, always outside. But the female aspect is the aspect of love, which is in every man, male or female. We're not separating men from women in that sense. But the male and the female aspect, which is housed in every single form in this world, the positive and the negative, you cannot compromise with God. So all of these religious paths that we engross ourselves with, the leaders of these paths in the beginning, are but the way showers. The paths give you the techniques by which you may go inside and find the real you. But in the orthodox sense, again, the attention is turned to the outer. And this is true in every religion. This is true in the religion of the Hindus, which has Krishna the Christ. It is true in the Christian religion, which has Christ. And it is true in the Buddhist religion, which has Buddha. It is true in the Zoroastrian religion, which has Zoroaster. The Mohammedan religion, each one has its head. That is the Christ of that particular religion, that one who goes within and finds the truth and then attempts to teach that truth to a suffering humanity, to lead them out of the darkness into the light. But the attention is outward. Outward prayers. Outward service. Outward speech. Outward everything. Outward books. Outward churches. But this is the temple of the living God. Your very own body is the temple of the living God. And until you graduate from the lower grades of school and go into the higher grades, you cannot go or put your feet upon that pathless path. Because that is the path of the self. Of the self with the capital S, or God within you. And when you come to that point, then all the so-called paths are put aside. And the one teacher comes, that one who has paid the full price, gone through the death state and returned. And there are few on earth that have done this. To teach you the way, the truth, and the life. And to teach you that by whatever name you call him, it is the Christ in you that is that light of the world, the firstborn of every creature. It doesn't matter what you call him. We are speaking of a universal principle, and that principle is in every single form in this world. But you will find it only within yourself. And when the time comes, when you are ready to let go of the outer things and go within the sanctuary of your own heart, your own mind, your own soul, and close all of the doors, seal them very tight. Get rid of the things of the senses, rise above them, and put your mind on that one which is your true self in there, God in you, the Christ in you, then you will never know what true life is. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, it says in the Christian scriptures. You must be born a second time. You were born as the Son of Man in your mother's womb to start with. But the second birth comes when you have crucified that Son of Man within yourself and transformed him until you have become the Christed One, the Son of God. And you feel the pangs of childbirth when you go through this experience. It is quite a thing. You dance sometimes, you sing, you roll on the floor, and this is to loosen the atomic structure of your body, because don't forget that sound controls the elements. And God is doing this. You are not responsible. And people who watch you may think that there's something wrong with you mentally, but this is not so. Because a person who has given themselves totally to God, who says, "Here am I, Lord, take me, do with me as you will. I love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul. You are my everything, because no matter who I think of in love is contained within you." That one then has finally thrown himself at the feet of the Lord and is willing to give up his little self, his own life, in order that he might find union, the marriage, the true marriage with his beloved. There are very few in the world who are willing to spend day and night, 24 hours a day in service to the Lord, to be in beck and call, to ask nothing for yourself but the privilege of serving him. Because they think, well, what's the fun, as Papa used to say? What's the fun? But the joy of it, even the grief of it, the sorrow that comes to you, the hatred, and the constant banging back and forth, the arguing, the dissension, "I don't believe you have the truth," this and that and the other thing, they are as nothing compared to the feeling of oneness with your God. Feeling of oneness as you serve him in every creature that comes before you. And as you see that by giving even a drink of water to some thirsty soul, by giving a crust of bread to some hungry soul, that you have served the Christ in that one. What a tremendous thing it is on your record. And yet you don't think of the record, because you're so absorbed in him and by him that there is nothing else that permeates your whole being except that Christ, that Lord, by whatever name you want to call him. This is the pathless path. It is that path of exploring you, exploring your own personal, private universe, and finding out all of the wonder and the beauty there, of going inside and seeing the star in the center of your forehead, of seeing the moon in your solar plexus, seeing the sun up here, and seeing all of the candlesticks of your spine lit up. These are the seven churches in your own temple, your own body. And each one of these centers represent a different state of consciousness. And as the consciousness starts to climb that way of the spine, the 14 stations of the cross, the positive and negative forces in the seven centers, there are many experiences from the lowest to the highest. And the lowest are the toughest, because these are the things of procreation. We waste our seed upon the ground. And we should not do that. We should learn to be masters of ourselves, to contain. And wise it is of the one who has come to that point where they can do as God directs either way, but with full mastery, full control, full control. And as you go upward, then each spinal center, as the consciousness ascends into that, gives you an experience of upliftment and an experience of descending into your subconscious being, so that you are made to review that which is done before. And if you don't like it, if you think your path is tough, then remember that it was you yourself that put yourself there. And the more you continue to do these things, the tougher it's going to be when that moment comes, when God lifts you up. And don't think you can run away from it. Don't think you can retire again to that comfortable past that is spoke of in this article this morning. When you think of the good old days, this is a terrific world we're living in now. And it is different, very, very different from the good old days. I know because I have seen a lot of it. But nevertheless, this tremendous upheaval is necessary. It is necessary to bring man to his knees so that out of all of this chaos, all of this so-called sin of separation, we will build a new world and we will have a new concept of what God's commandments are and of the necessity to love one another. Because if we do not, we will be destroyed without any question of a doubt. So this is the pathless path within ourselves. It is in the quietness of your own soul that God comes to you. You see the universes, and as you ascend the spinal stairway, the light becomes greater and greater, even as the story that I told you, until finally the consciousness goes through the sixth center, which is called the Christ Center. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody can go to the Father except through me, through that state of Christ consciousness, because God came first, and he said, I quote the commandments, thou shalt not place false gods before me. So God is the first, the last word. He is the cause. He contains with everything within himself. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And you will be made, whether you want to or not, to face that. And the more you don't live up to the things that you know you should live up to, the greater is the debt you're going to pay when the time comes. So it is better to go willingly than to be dragged, believe me. All of us are dragged at some time or other. I speak not from a high mountain to you of blamelessness. I have been through all of the humanness within myself. I have paid the price for that humanness. I have died on this cross, and I have been resurrected again, and I have been lifted up into the heaven of my own being. I have seen my spinal centers all lit up like a Christmas tree. I have seen the Christ crucified on my own cross, but everybody thinks of it only as the one who lived 2,000 years ago. Why is it that every picture you see of the Christ is different from every other one by every artist? It is because they envision their own Christ. There is not one picture in the world of that one which we call Jesus the Christ. And yet he is in every man, every single one. So it is high time that we give up these things that are keeping our real selves in the prison house of matter, and reach out for the light, the truth, the wonder, and the beauty of that which we really are in God. And if we give up everything for him, he will shower his blessings, his bounty upon us in such great measure that we will not be able to hold all of his gifts. Ask me, I know. The love that I get, the gifts that come to me all of the time in every way, more than satisfy my needs and enable me to give and to give and to give and to help and to help. And my heart goes out to everyone I see who is crucifying themselves, but not in the way that we speak of. They are crucifying themselves and keeping themselves bound prisoners in their own prison houses, this body, through the misuse of their senses. And they fail to see the great glory that is on the mountain of their own being, just waiting for them to reach out for it. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And every other thing shall be added unto you. Everything works together for good for the one who loves God. This does not mean to say that you will not go through trials and tribulations, but having paid the full price, you will go through it for others. And when they say and do things to you or about you, then with all of your heart, pity them. Love them because they need it. They are not really doing it to you, but to themselves and to God. This cannonball, the tongue, is the most vicious thing in the world. And it will do everything to protect this human ego. It will lie. It will, not only the tongue, but the whole ego being will lie. It will steal. It will kill. It will do every single thing to cover up its misdeeds so nobody's going to find it out. And everybody thinks, what a great person am I. But you come face to face with yourself. And you watch that self play games. You get a mirror, even if it's a pool of water or a mirror on your dressing table. And you look in it and watch the expressions of your faces as you see these various thoughts and desires come through. And you will know what I mean. And then one says something to somebody. Somebody else takes it, takes exception to it. They build it and build it and build it and build it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All because they want to set themselves up as being on the in scene and a little bit better and a little bit greater than somebody else. Well, I have news for you. Nobody is great but God. I of myself, you of yourself, in the human sense, are absolutely nothing. We cannot do anything without the power, the intelligence, the will to do that He gives us, every one of us. So let us cut this little self, which is so big, down to size, and release this great shining self within ourselves. Let us follow the pathless path that goes beyond anything that is taught in religions. It is the religion of God, and it is to be found within yourself. And the Christ in you will lead the way until finally that day will come when you will come face to face with your real self, which is God within you. And He will say, Father, I have come home. And He will say, yes, my child, I am so thrilled that at last you have come home to me. And He will take you in His arms of everlasting bliss. And He will hold you safe forevermore. Now let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see Thy face. Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love. O Heavenly Father, may Thy love shine forever upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts and bring them to Thee. Oh. peace.